Tara says, woman, woman who saw blood, menstrual blood, is considered what Shavara called Tumeya. Mixed up with what the word Tumeya means. She had to use a negative kind of a thing, you know, a pejorative term, Tumeya. The ritual term. Ritual purity and impurity. And although, truth to tell, the parasha needs us found twice. Mixed up with what the word Tumeya means. She had to use a negative kind of a thing, you know, a pejorative term, Tumeya. The ritual term. Ritual purity and impurity. And although, truth to tell, the parasha needs us found twice. Once in parasha Mitzora, where it does ritual purity and impurity. Once in parasha Achanoha and Kedoshim, where it discusses the prohibited relationship with men and women. So there are two dimensions to Nidra. One that is ritual impurity, and two is the prohibition to her husband. That's the mistake of a reform rabbi made, among the many, one of the earlier mistakes. The reform rabbi said, there's no law that Nidra don't apply anymore. So they're basically made this anymore. There's no more sort of a tire, so the woman does not use the victim anymore. It's ridiculous, because although the Tumah is not really relevant to us nowadays, but the prohibition to her husband still was in full force. Ritual of purity, we don't know about it anymore. First, in the old days, when either a man or a woman was ritually impure, there had to be many precautions. They shouldn't touch the food, they shouldn't, in some cases, they shouldn't even touch the chairs or the bed. Lest they make it ritually impure, they have to put the bed into the mikvah, the chair into the mikvah, the food can't go to the mikvah, you have to throw it out if you're towing in certain cases, shulam, or else you just eat it in an impure state. That's why in the old days, when a woman was needed or not, she wasn't only married woman. Single woman doesn't know if she's needed or not. You know what she should do with the food, with the chair, with the whole story. That's why in the time of the Chazal, when there's a big issue, was around, a person with needs or not, wasn't such a sensitive thing like today. It was a ritual matter. It applied to certain singles as well as to married, it applied to men as well as to women, and certain, and also to the Torah as well, all kinds of things. It wasn't just man-wife. Nowadays, because it's only man-wife, it's a whole different story. You have to be very, discreet. We'll see later on. But in those days, it really could be discreet. They had to know. They just had to know what's the status of the bread that she touched, or the chair she sat on. How can you be discreet? Why wouldn't it? We'll see later. In those days, the woman would need to wear different clothing. She had a different room, different chair, different flat. Everything was different. That doesn't apply nowadays, of course. Shavara says that the by Torah law, a woman is only considered to be a nida if she has what we call hargosha. Hargosha means sensation. The major dispute among the men posting, that's the problem. The men posting are fighting about what a hargosha for a woman is to make her into a nida. Now you can imagine what's going on over here. It's wild. So there are three different versions. All of which are quoted in the Pesach Shuv. Some say, Rambam, if her body trembles, sort of a tremor in her body. Others say, if she feels the opening of the womb, whatever that means. The third one, which is found in later authorities, when she feels a liquid flowing inside. Now, this liquid flowing story is a matter of controversy. Some say it's not called hargosha, no source for it. And B, be, assuming that it is, what does it mean inside? So many say it means that you feel it all the way inside, very far up. It's called in the cervix. I'm not sure if you're experts in biology. And the cervix is the place which is the borderline between what's called the uterus. The uterus is the, forgive me for telling you what you may all know, but I can't assume that I know anything. I found it amazingly in my many shadows, still don't know anything. Men don't, not just men don't know about women, what about men? Men don't know about men, women don't know about women. I'm not kidding. It's amazing, absolutely amazing. So for that reason, I just call it a very, very basic thing. The womb is the part of the body which is, which is the ultimate day if the woman becomes pregnant, that's what the embryo grows, that has a lining which waxes and wanes in the month, and when it sheds, which is of course triggered by normally by hormones, that's when the woman has the menstrual flow. The womb comes to an end and opens, if you will, exits the womb, goes through the cervical canal, sometimes called the cervix. Usually the word cervix means in our parts, the outer part of the cervix, which is a canal which has an ending. And that opens into what's called the vaginal tract or area. Into that tract is where the urethra empties. I don't want to go into too much biology. But just the kids of immigrants, this hargosha, according to most authorities, if it exists, it's only if it's felt all the way up at the near the cervix. In fact, a woman feels her undergarments are wet, she feels that they're near the outside, that's meaningless to almost everybody. That doesn't really mean too much. Okay, so there are three different kinds. The problem is, you see, the Gemara is an expression in the Septa Nida, that if a woman hits the problem, there's many authorities say now that there is no argosha. They base it on the following. The Gemara is an expression in Nida at the beginning. If a woman is sleeping and she has a period, she wakes up from the Hargosha. I'm told that if a woman these days has a period midnight or 3 in the morning, and then she's never, we don't know exactly when, she goes to sleep and everything's clean, and she wakes up in the morning and obviously the period began, she slept right through the night. She didn't wake up in the middle. So, the Gemara says she does wake up in the middle of the Targosh. So what does that mean? We don't really know what that means. Things changed, or women aren't so sensitive to Targosh nowadays. I don't know what it means. I didn't have the position to know what it means. And I have consulted with females, not that I'm oblivious to the obvious, but even after my consultations, I'm not clear on this one. The women who tell me they don't have any of these hargoshes. And you see some wine round after the shower. But when the woman asks the question, it's very relevant. Is the hargoshes? I'll say yes. This, everything, it's almost always no. The only hargoshes people feel is Ziva Zavala. Obviously, everyone feels. But they usually say they only feel it on the outside. Again, we're left in sort of a quandary. The Shulmanar begins right away by saying that this status of tumah exists from the moment that the blood leaves the what's called the mkomo, its place. The woman has the status of tumah, even if the blood has come all the way out here. Moreover, the Shulchan concludes, even if a woman saw one drop of blood, one drop, tiny drop like a mustard seed, just nothing, tiny little drop, meaning there's no sensation. And the false will say, even if it's less than a mustard seed, which is an example, a tiny, tiny drop, the tiniest thing in the world, she is tomen, she is asura labayla, she's prohibited to husband, and in order to become pure once again, to become permissible once again to her husband, she showed up to the right front. Yosheves alev shiva mekiyus. before we get started into how you become leader, he already gave you the first paragraph, the Shulchan Aruch, how to become out of the status of leader. The Shimon Akiyah. 7 consecutive clean days. Also a rabbinic law in most instances. The Torah has two categories, Nidah and Zav. Nidah is a normal menstrual cycle. What's a normal menstrual cycle? Any cycle of 18 days or longer. That's what the minimum cycle that the Torah recognizes. She sees on day 1 and then again on day 19, that's a recognized cycle. If she saw 3 days in a row within between day 8 and 18, 8, 9, 10, 10, 11, 16, 17, 18, anywhere else, she's called the Zava. And then the Torah demands that she has, she waits 7 clean days to bring a carbon. And have to get some English. Most women today, overwhelming majority of women today, are neither not Zava. Well, she's a healthy woman. So she sees more than 18 days apart. And the period doesn't last more than a week. Usually, more than 8 days at the outside. 9 days even with the not qualifying. Doesn't last 10 days as a rule. So therefore, most women today are not in the status of Zohar on level of Torah law. Nonetheless, the Jewish women themselves, the Gnosis Israel, have near al Atma, they accept the scripture, that they always count 17 days. They don't get confused, leave the Zohar, the Zohar, the cycle. No distinction. Every time a woman sees any down, she has to wait 17 days. You'll see later on that she cannot necessarily begin the count of the 17 days as soon as the period stops. It passes 1 day, and she has to wait. So that for us, we'll see for Ashkenazim at least, the custom is that no matter what, almost no matter what, you have to wait 5 days plus 7 days. So that's why the neither period, an average woman must separate from her husband for 12 days out of the cycle. What is that in the ratio? And the cycle is. The cycle is 24 days, bad news. She's apart from her husband 50% of the time. That's no good for a marriage. Huh? So if her period is, let's say, 30 days, which is more average, then it's down to 40%. Okay, so now at least we have, talk about. We'll discuss the details later on as we go. So Ramah is a very strange line. Ben Chiluk, Ben Knuyel, and Nesuel, and Yerusha Nidah. He called out Baal on Nidah Chayav Tzadik. There's no difference between a single woman and a married woman with respect to Nidah. Whatever has related to the Nidah is Chayav Tzadik. What kind of business is this? What's he doing here? Well, fear was, according to the Rivash, that there would be women who would be unmarried and they would, it's true even to this day, unfortunately, there's some men and women who cannot control themselves and they cannot wait until they get married. And so they're involved in forming a premarital relations, non-marital. So the Rambam is giving you a warning, not only is that prohibited on the grounds that it's premarital or non-marital, which is itself a prohibition. Use Rahana prohibition, the Torah prohibition, the rabbinic prohibition, that's a whole big major issue. The Malchus or not, it's a separate issue. Yes, we do not accept the, what do they call them again? Shalom Bias Organization. You want to see this last year? Unbelievable. The Shalom Bias Organization of Dvorah, a manifesto, witness recommending the reintroduction, they claim, of the institution of Pilegesh, a concubine. No, we do not accept their view. I'm sorry. We don't accept their point of view. That's not an option. Aside from any prohibition to exist because of the non-marital state, in those days, a woman who was not married could get into the mikveh. But the mikveh lady wouldn't let her in. What kind of business is this? You can't, you don't belong here, I'm married. Out. So then, aside from prohibition of non-marital relations, which is, I guess we might say, relatively mild. Some say it's rabbinical, some say it's a prohibition, a violation of an assay, Rambam has the use of Malchus of Hadesha. It still is no parts. Or Sarkin, whatever that may be, one of three levels of prohibition earlier. I mean, Kodesh Shalom Bayis is no prohibition, yeah. But there's a much worse prohibition in these cases, namely that she doesn't go to the mikveh. And that organization that's the Naked with their own mikveh too. The concubine mikveh. Anyway, so that's what he says. Now, isn't this obvious? So the Ba'alim has a very interesting idea. We don't usually know the reasons for mitzvahs. Even if you know a reason, it could be many reasons. Truth to tell, even if you know the reason, we don't go by it. So the Hashina time of the cross, we know the reason, and we know that the reason does not apply in case A, B, or C, we disregard it. We must have put a mitzvah anyway. Well, that's the chiddush according to one of the portions of the Bible. The Gemara has a necessity neither. Why did the Torah introduce the laws of Eden? In terms of the restrictions, the husband and the wife shouldn't touch each other, there's a certain relationship with him. Why? It's a funny question, why? That's it. The Gemara is an interesting answer. The Gemara's answer is, quote, this rogil and kutz, two words in a row, are exactly what the later non-Jewish world took as an expression, which is called, oh, what do I mean? No? Three-word expression. F, B, C. Correct. Familiarity breeds contempt. That's exactly what it says. Rogil the kutz, he's familiar with her. C, ultimately, he's contemptuous of her. Therefore, the Torah says not. They should separate from 7 to 8. And here's a beautiful, beautiful line at the end. Kidei shetei chaviva al bala kishas yisasa l'chubas. When the woman goes to the mikveh and is reunited with her husband after a period of separation, so by total of 7 days, by rabbinical of 12 days, then she is as beloved to him as their wedding night. So this is a psychological truth. It's proven to this day. Now you might think, but if he's living with his girlfriend, and she's not even married, well, the Torah not so worried about keeping this relationship going? Maybe there's no dinner neither. You rub a finger, you can imagine Mr. Taurus, right? As Ramon says, don't think it was going to dream about it. He said, neither Taurus applies, even if they're not married. That's what the first one about us. Okay, this is the introductory siman kuf pei gimel, the halacha of nida. Have a question? You can ask it now. Yeah. Interesting. It switched like this. There was a in stages. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who lived, as you know, was the editor of the Mishnah, correct? So he lived, what, in the 3rd century somehow? Before the offer? If this is the 20th century, he lived in the 3rd century, 1700 years ago. Okay? He made a takana that any woman who sees 3 days in a row, 3 days in a row, at any time of the month, the cycle, whatever it may be, has to count 17 days. He was fearful people would make a mistake. If it's Nida, it's Zava, to prevent any mistakes, he said, you always have to wait. You saw 3 days in a row, you have to wait 17 days. Interestingly, the Jewish women weren't happy with this. It wasn't strict enough for them. Yes? You believe it's all of you? It wasn't strict enough for them. So they decided that even if a woman sees one drop for 1 day, you still have to have 17 days. That's called the Nos Yisrael Afmiru Al Atzma. The Jewish women accepted upon themselves. Ramban claims that this Qumrah, which was introduced by the Jewish women, was subsequently confirmed by the Halacha, and it's so strong that even if Eliyahu HaNavi comes, he can't undo it. Pretty strong language on by that. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that the Meshech Chochma, last week's Parsha, disagrees somewhat. It says, when they have the base of English, Ashlishi, this stringency is going to go out the window for a simple reason. Nowadays, it's not, listen, with everyone's the status of the cell phone, so it'll be separated from the husband a little bit longer, we'll have to manage. But when the base, I think, is going to be rebuilt, you have to have exact records to know who is Chayav Karbon and who's not. And the Zava, she's Chayav Karbon. I think the base of the Karbon. When she's not a Zava, she does not. She's not allowed to bring a Karbon. So we're going to have to simply eliminate this extra stricture of Rabbi Zeira, which the women accepted, because we just can't have it. We can't have it. These Rebbe's things have to go. We can't have it because it's going to breed and be a disaster from the perspective of Karbonis to the base of the A bunch of the answers speak for a mikvah. Here in Manhattan, West Side, the answers speak for the mikvah ones. So I said in Russia that the very common custom when a woman goes to the mikvah, as soon as she comes out, she's a bracha, she's a bracha, the second time, whatever it is, when she finishes everything, she says the following. I don't know the different customs, but she says she's born and based on English, with hair, the Amenu, the same Elkanu, the Sarasa. Same thing I can say after Shon Esra. So the Tejan is far about that. We should never be, you know, we should always be very mindful of the customs of the Jewish women, but they probably have very, very good sources, very, very deep meanings. At that rush, I asked the question, why? Why did the women say this rough? Why? Well, it's not rough, it's Tina, it's Tina, why? I gave three reasons. I'm not going to remember all three of them. One of them was this. Very tongue-in-cheek, that the woman is feeling terrible. She's been separated from her husband for 12 long days. She can't handle it. Terrible. 12 days. And she says, she runs her base of English from here of Yemen. But then, according to the Meshach Hafa, we know more from the Ozeir, then she'll only have to be separated from her husband for 7 days. That was my first shot. It's pretty sharp. Everyone was rolling. It's real, but that's all about the two shots. Well, there were three. And one of them was, one of them was that the Gemara has that Ein Ben David Bo, that the Mashiach will not come, Hashiach will call Neshama Shebegul, until all the Neshamas that are supposed to be born are ultimately born. And since we know that the mikveh is the prerequisite for having a child, so it's appropriate to say at that time she brought a base of English because now we can potentially have a child. So when the child is born, we'll bring the base of English closer than the other child. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the fucking some quote funny one that Meshach Hach one. That's why I always got trouble remembering. We'll have to sharpen it. Third one.
So Migdal writes that it's just you separate from your husband for 7 days. It's not 7 clean days. It's 7 days.
Assume that the blood stops within 7 days.
Right.
The blood starts on Sunday and stops, let's say, Thursday.
And then you wait.
So the Torah law is multi-Shabbos. She's going to the Mikdal.
The other thing is, I definitely got your remark quote wrong. So the difference between a married woman and a single woman regarding Nida is that...
There is no difference. But in reality, there is none. I'm going to explain to you why it was necessary to even make this obvious point. You would have thought, based on that reason in the Gemara, that shouldn't apply to tell the other people. Okay, any more questions? This is an introduction. Yes?
I thought that last year when we were learning this also, that that we said that when anything would come, either was machmer or kula, that we go more towards the kula than to be machmer during, like...
Correct. I said that to the women in halakha, I mentioned, we had one class about this, in which I said that unfortunately today, people live in an age of chumras. Everything is chumra, the capital chas. And I have a story from a Moshe Pashi directly, that in these matters, you're not supposed to go to women. Not supposed to be unwanted leniency. You have to follow that a lot strictly. So what's your question?
So then why is it that was probably there, that he said that you can have the...
Don't blame me, it's your fault. It's the Jewish woman started this. And the rabbis thought it was a good idea, so I you know, the country. Okay. Yes. No, but the Meshach Chachma, he said, that's his parasha, that when Mashiach, with the Beis HaMikdash, we'll have to set, we'll have to once again know when the Shekhinah is Rodava, to know whether she has to be a carbon or not. Today we don't worry about carbonas anymore now. We don't think about it. But they don't have to think about it now, so we know that she'll be Rodava. So then if she's going to be a Nivda, she'll only have to wait 7 days total. If she'll be Rodava, she'll have to wait 12 days. Okay. Before 12 days. No, no, that's great. The Zavah requires Shimon Nekiyah by Torah law. 17 days. And either by Torah does not require 17 days. It's 7 altogether. By Torah law. The rabbis came along and they introduced 17 days in all cases facing the women's problems. Interesting, I once had a spoke to someone who was down in Q. And there was a shadow, there was simply not firm at all. Not that weren't firm, zero. And they're trying to bring it back to Judaism. They're talking about Kashmir, and Shabbos. And all of a sudden, somebody referred to married life. And here these couple that never heard of me, what's that, never heard of the whole concept. And this cured worker was the Talmud of Yeshiva Lakewood, who was concerned. That she tells them the whole story 12 days out of a month. That is crazy. He wanted to know. And he later mentioned to these people that, you know, there are two levels. The level of Torah law, 7 days in total. And there's a rabbinic law that requires, you know, 7 days, 7 clean days, because they close 12 days apart. Did he later mention that to them? Well, perhaps if he mentioned that, he's in violation of Lifnei Evil or Sitei Misho. I'll just go over that last week. Well, that's it, right? But because he mentioned to them this, they may opt to keep only the Torah level of neither, they won't keep the rabbinic level of neither. It's my fault, I told them the two levels. I wouldn't have told them anything. Maybe they would have kept the whole story. He told me what their Moshe function, yeah, the sheriff. And Moshe said to them, got it backwards. If you don't mention the two levels, then you're guilty of this neither. Why? But for non-from people, 12 days out of a month, way, they're never going to accept that. But you were told that it exists a Torah law of 7 days, so maybe they'll at least catch a Torah law of 7 days. And then, see, maybe, you know, it's not so terrible, and maybe they might have accepted it to 12, even if not. You could say that the law of Edom has been a Torah of Chorus. Now you tell them that this is two levels, bi-level, so then you're in violation by your silence of this name. Wow. People don't believe I might have said that. But I believe it. The person that I know he is, the person is direct. Judge each case separately. That's for the people who are Bala Tshuva. Of course, for the Frum community, who want to address my remarks this evening, there's nothing to talk about. 12 days, which approximately, which is 5 days, which was the date of Y5. In any event, most women see 5 days of time anyway, so they got a completely clean Tzedika. And then 7 clean days, a total of 12. Okay? You ready to proceed? Okay? Kuf Pei Dalet. Shulchan Aruch says, again speaking in his time, that most women have exact intervals for the Vesis Kavua. Exact intervals, every, let's say, 20 days or 30 days or 28 days or 32 days, whatever it may be, like clockwork, they have a period. And in such a case, there are certain halachas, both strictures and leniencies. If she has what's called the Besis Kavua. Then the Shulchan Aruch says that at any other time but the expected time of the period, there are no restrictions whatsoever between husband and wife. And she's not required to have to do a maternal examination before or after relation. Not only she's not required, but most she's not, she really shouldn't. And to the contrary, during the time when the period is expected, then she must separate from her husband. It's called Prisha, Shemara calls it. What is a Prisha? The Shemara is very careful to say that this means they should abstain from marital relations. But any other kind of physical contact, the Shulchan Aruch says, is permissible. There are those who are strict, but the Shulchan Aruch says permissible. That's what we found. So exactly when is this, this period of the Vessels? What do you mean, what exactly? She saw the Vessels at 12 midnight. So it was only 12 midnight. No. She saw 12 midnight last month, the entire night is off. She's prohibited the entire night to have relations with her husband. She saw 12 noon, she's prohibited the entire day to have relations with her husband. By the way, in general, relations by day are considered a violation of the laws of the Sneus, required in Madison. There's no rare exceptions, but that's the general rule. When is the separation between day and night? You know the purpose of calculating when the Vessus is. Sunrise and sunset. She saw between sunrise and sunset, she's prohibited by day. She saw between sunset and sunrise, prohibited by night. When is considered the time of the period? The first time zone. The first day or first night, as the case may be, that the period began. That is the time when you calculate subsequent months. The fact that it continued 2 or 3 or 4 days later, doesn't mean anything. All this is true for women who have what we call a vessus kavua, a set, a full intimate. Okay? And according to Shulchan Aruch, most women have it. And everything that I know, and here I've been involved with many shaylos, is no longer holds nowadays. It's no longer true that most women today have what we call absolute regularity. It means that they see the same interval month after month after month. In order to establish a Vessus Kavua, you need 3 intervals in a row, to be precise. It means, let's say for a woman saw day 1, let's say then day 31, and then day 61, and then day 91. I think I have the math right. So 30-day interval, and 30-day interval, and 30, 3 times in a row. And each time, the same time zone. Either all four, only about the first one. The first one may not matter. But the 31, 61, and 90 all have to be the same time zone, either by day or by night. I'm told that nowadays it's rare this to happen. I'm told. So therefore, most women today do not have a Vessus Kavua. By the way, anything I say is wrong in terms of empirical facts, but you don't want to tell me about it in front of the whole class, I understand very well. Do me a big favor. Write me a note, put it in my mailbox or something, send it to me uptown. Say, this fact is wrong. And I have very little, I get feedback on a regular basis one-on-one. I'm not speaking to a large group. Something I say may be completely out of whack. I don't want to talk about it, which I understand. So just write me a note. It could be anonymous. Type it if you want to. But then, how am I going to know what's going on if I don't get feedback? Okay. So then for most women today, according to my understanding, do not have a vestis cohen. If a woman had a vessus, has a vessus invisible, vote, summer, soft, little vestos, I think it was tough. If a woman has a vessus, then mentioned before the vessels comes, there's no need for any checking at all. If you have no vessels, then what do you do? The Shulchan Aruch has an interesting dispute about this. Well, it's two opinions, basically. Some are very strict, very, very, very strict. Say, if a woman does not have a vessels kavua, she does not set intervals, then she's always required to check herself, make sure that the period didn't come all of a sudden, she wasn't expecting it, unbeknownst to her, for even to us. I said before, once the blood comes into, out of the cervical canal into the upper vaginal area, even if she doesn't see it, she may not know about it, she's still prohibited, so she has to check to see that happened. However, the Shulchan Aruch had to compromise here, which says, no, not necessary to check. We assume that she's still clean, she doesn't know, no reason to doubt that, no need to make an internal examination before relations. But the first 3 times after marriage, she should check herself to make sure that she's not in a terrible category known as Roa Damach Matash, which is someone who sees the result of relations. The Shach, the number one commentary on Shulchan Aruch, Sifsei Kohen, the law of peace on the side, says, no, he's even more than you. There's no need to check at all, not for the entire duration of the marriage, not even for the first 3 times. And in my opinion, you have the right to follow the Shach. There's never a need for a woman to do any bedikah, a halakhic need to do a bedikah before relations with her husband, because you follow the most needs together. 3 views. Always, sometimes, never. Test them. Some say always. And three times sometimes, and the Shach said never. It's a very interesting case, which is very, 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 very common. I said it enough times. Emphasis. A woman who never sees less than 26 days. Never. But beyond that, it varies wildly. It could be 26, it could be 29, it could be 34, it could be 38. It goes back and forth between 28 and 30. I think this is very common. So then the Shulchan Aruch says that until day 26, she goes to the Mikveh for 12 days. So for the next 14 days, from day 12 to 26, she has the status of a woman who has a vessel. And for sure there's no need to check. For sure, for sure, for sure. And beyond that, then she gets into the dispute we discussed earlier. You have to check 3 times, you have to check no times, you have to check all the time. It's very relevant to us in a general sense. That kind of a negative vessel. It's she does not see less than 26 days. This is important not only from the perspective of the strict halakha, So it's important for what I always call the common sense perspective. Sparking a woman's knowledge of Shulchan Aruch is of common sense. A woman knows when there's certain early warnings that the period is imminent. So from that point on, she would be wise if she abstained from relations with her husband, because the period is imminent, it can come any day or any hour. Even if it does not fit into the formal category of things which we learn in the Shulchan Aruch. Many women, they know, so the next day, they never have a period. Now the Shulchan Aruch talks on what can happen in a very bad case when a woman is not expecting a period, let's say, and all of a sudden in the middle of the relationship she feels love coming out. Oh, it's a whole terrible situation. Very, very, very unlikely. Isn't that short amount of time? What happens more frequently is that the woman thinks that she's fine, there's no problems, it's before the earliest period, or before the expected period, and there's no reason to amend it. And yet, she discovers the next morning that maybe she really had a period. She had had it already even before she was with us. She didn't realize it. So in that case, Poskim say that she doesn't even have to do tshuva. She doesn't have to feel contrite, she doesn't feel so bad, she feels a little bad, but she doesn't feel like, oh, I did a terrible sin. And if what I'm going to do to get forgiveness from Hashem, a terrible thing I did. No, it wasn't her fault at all. She was within her, everything was done, not her fault or his fault. They didn't know what was going on. So it's not even considered an aveira on their part. No one's able to care about the halakhos of nida. These things can happen. The law of averages, over many years of marriage, this can certainly happen. Only if they discovered in the middle of the relationship, it's already complicated. I don't want to go into that, that's very, very real. I've had one shadow in my career about that. One. So I don't want to talk about it. That's a very rare, just a mathematical, it's a very rare occurrence. Okay. So who pays I? Talks about a common situation. It's one of the major, there are many, but one of the major unresolved disputes among recent authorities. I'm just over here. There exists a concept called Dam Makra. Dam Makra. What does Dam Makra mean? Blood of a womb. Blood of a wound, even if the wound is in the uterus, or certainly if it's in the vaginal area, has nothing to do with Hilchos Nida. Like a bloody hand, a bloody nose, it's nothing to do with it. Normally we say that the Dam Nida, this is, again, giving that a more strict view. Dam Nida is the lining of the uterus that waxes and wanes, that grows and then sheds. She has a period, that's called Dam Nida. She has a wound anywhere in the cervical area or even in the uterine area. That's also tissue. You can have a wound there, the same thing you can have a wound there, you have a bloody nose. So you have tissue, right? The tissue is in the nose. It's not exposed to the direct to the skin like your hand is. And still there could be a wound there. That's what bloody nose is. Sometimes there could be a wound in the uterine tissue. Completely unrelated to the lining which waxes and wanes, it's part of the very muscle of the uterus, but also the status of Dam Makra. The problem is, it's very difficult to determine, maybe it's impossible, if there's blood from the uterus, how do you know that it's blood from that wound in the body of the uterus itself, which is unchanging, it's there all the time, or perhaps it's coming from the lining, which according to this understanding, even if you move from the lining by artificial means, scratch or this or that or what, or jump, it would still have the status of nida because it's that blood which is now being shed. Even though it's shed prematurely because of some kind of what they call today a trauma, bang to the scratch, etc. It's very difficult to determine. So it's usually up to all the chokmah. That's the clear determination. That's the strict view. The more lenient view maintains that if the blood, even from the uterine lining, came through a trauma, as opposed to hormonal means, usually triggers the period, then we can consider it to be a dama. A beautiful book which came out in English recently by Dr. Razi, I think his name is, fertility specialist in Maimonides, and he writes a book there about the problems of fertility, how you have a halacha, etc., etc. And then he, every shayla is resolved. Nothing is doubtful. This. Here's the one doubtful question. People doubt a lot of questions, very relevant, especially in those kind of cases. If there is blood which comes out of the uterus and it's from the lining, it doesn't come out hormonally, but it comes out because there's some kind of trauma, or the doctor's invasive procedure, or scratch, whatever it may be, then what's the status of that dam? It's like, well, dam mako, or dam nito. Some are strict and some are legal. He can't decide right now. I'm not going to tell him. I leave it an open question. You have a shout out, it's a rope. So the Ramah writes as follows, the third of the Tamaka. If a woman knows for sure she has a makra, a womb, however, if the wound is a kind, she's not sure if it bleeds or not. She knows she has a wound, that's a fact. But she's not sure whether it bleeds or not. You think it's hard to be in that case, because usually if you go to a doctor, he tells you this wound will say it bleeds or not. If you don't go to a doctor, I don't have a wound at all. But alright, so Ramah talks about that kind of. First 26 days after the previous period, she can assume that any blood which comes is coming from this wound, even though she doesn't know for a fact that this wound is a bleeding wound. She knows there isn't just a wound. And after day 26, she can no longer make that assumption. She's not sure that the wound is in fact a bleeding wound. This is not possible. Obviously, there's so many concerns at the Esther Shiloh. How do you know there's a wound? Sometimes we can determine there's a wound based upon where the dam is present on the bedikah. In other words, normally in a regular bedikah is a cloth, a tampon, which is inserted towards the end of the days to see the Hepsitara to see if everything is clean. So if the period hasn't stopped yet, first 26 days after the first, after the previous period, she can assume that any blood which comes is coming from this womb, even though she doesn't know for a fact that this womb is a bleeding womb, but she knows there is a sister womb. After day 26, she can alone make that assumption. She's not sure that the womb is in fact a bleeding womb. There are both possible. Obviously, there's somebody concerned that they ask the Shaila. How do you know there's a womb? Sometimes we can determine we can determine there's a womb based upon where the dam is present on the bedikah. In other words, normally in a regular bedikah, is a cloth, tampon, which is inserted towards the end of the days to see later, it's called Hefsetara, to see if everything is clean. So if the period hasn't stopped yet, the part of this bedikah cloth item, the reddest is the part of the top. That's where the dam comes from the top and comes this way. What happens if you consistently have something which is inserted internally, on top it's clean, and in one corner it's always dirty? That could be proof which is so strong that it's considered halakhically acceptable that the source of the dam is in the makas womb. Because if it were not for that, it would never keep coming up on the bottom, on the side, it should come on the top. These are examples which I'm also going to say later. Again, I repeat, these shadows have to go to a consultation. In general, I should point out that in Hilchos Nida, a woman often has to get have shadows in the name of the Rabbah. So women don't want to go to the Rabbah themselves. So they send the husband to go to the Rabbah. Some of them will call up the Rabbah anonymously. I get many anonymous phone calls. Remember me? I got the voice from last year. And I'm the one who, there can be an anonymity preserved, it's not a problem. Obviously, these reliances upon Dam Maka do not apply once the time for the period comes. Then we have to assume that it's a period, not a war. Yes?
If a woman is taking birth control pills, is she considered to have a ventus cavua?
Taking the pills right is the most kavua vessel in the world.
But is it considered, so it is considered though that it's
very, very kavua. Takes the pills right, the way I understand where these pills go. You take 28 days, it comes to like 5 o'clock. That's kavua. So it should be kavua.
Like even though I'm saying, even though it's artificial, like it is.
Actually, it's more kavua. Let's say you forget to take a pill. If it's kavua naturally, it's one thing, she may forget to take a pill. If she forgets to take a pill, the whole bets are off. But if she doesn't forget, then
I don't understand why the dam of the wedding night is considered dam nida.
Why do you jump at the conclusion? It's premature. I don't play it. Okay. Have your question? When we finish, this is going to be a very brief overview. When we finish, the other question I asked about it would be publicly or privately an ample opportunity. This is, we have a question about what we discussed directly, you should ask the meeting. Shonara said that she can assume that it's coming from a womb. If the day is always off to the side, and certainly he says that she feels pain when she does these examinations. So it's obvious there's something wrong. You know, sometimes women who bring about themselves these wounds scratch themselves. It's not in the case of a woman who contraceptive they use these, what's called these released infection programs, they call it an applicator. Put it in a syringe. Certain things go into the cavity. And so she said, oops, I goofed. And it was too frosty, so I scratched it. So she's down. So of course, we assume that down came from that scratch. And, pretty obvious. She felt the scratch. I mean, even some women who have been known to improperly insert birth control devices to their diaphragm. And that could also cause a wound. There's a child. It must be assumed. What's called that? Red? Red. It's red is called that? Black? It's also called that. Assume that it's with that, I guess, someone black. You know, if you go in the sun, you'll see red again.
or open to the sun or daylight. Or Shabbos, you see Maris at night. You usually try to use the fluorescent light. It's much truer than incandescent distorts color. And fluorescent is good. It's better yet in daylight. Even better in some measure of sunlight. You know what we call this? Round with red highlights. The hair like that. You're talking all of a sudden red. What happened? The terrace is really the reddish and the brown. But you don't see it. It's on the sun. Boom, there it is. You can have a mara different down view. It's round with red highlights. That's down tummy. It's no good. Yes. Well, we don't know what it is. It could be mucus. It could be old blood, which turns brown, but it could be the kind of old blood which turns brown in the uterus. And if it turned brown in the uterus and came out brown, then it's not one of the colors that makes a woman's tummy. You know, even though it's chemically blood. You know, they have these things in the hospitals. It's been tested for blood. You can take a garment for X, a lot of money, but you can give it to a lab and they'll test this blood. So in my opinion, that test is conclusive only in one direction. If there's no blood, so then we can assume there's no blood. So if there is blood, it doesn't mean anything. But it still could be blood, chemically, you know, physically, biologically, I should say, but it might be the kind of blood which is called down top, not the right color. Now, of course, you see, it's a little tricky. If it was red and it turned brown later, that's no good. If it came out brown, it is good. How do you know? How did the rabbi know when he sees it? I always tell the lady, if you saw red and it came out, don't ask a shayla. Can't do it for yourself. No good. Very often, you'll see that it's not really red. It's pinkish to reddish, and pick it out, and then it looks this color, that color. So there's a doubt about it. Doubt about it. The rabbi passed him based on what he sees. The famous expression for the Gemara. Aim is dying on the Mash and the Rosh. You don't judge based on what he sees. You can't project what it looks like yesterday. How are you going to know? That's not lucky. You follow what you see now. Bones is not what the kid did when it's sure it was red at an earlier stage. Test. Probably the most complicated of all the Sevada. I'm not going to go over every detail. This is one about Vesta. Really, there are three kinds of Vestas that we have nowadays. One we discussed already, that's called the interval. The most common part. Interval. A second kind is what we call Veses HaKodesh. It means day of the month, the woman saw the tenth of Tevet. Required to abstain from relations on the 10th of Shvat. Again, day or night. If she saw 3 months in a row on the same day, 10, 10, 10, even though the intervals are not identical, as you probably know, some months are 29 days and some months are 30 days, and that, those 3 times itself is enough to make a There's only 4 or 3 intervals. It's a different look. The best approach. 3 days is enough for that time. But that's the number one. Third kind of best was known as Ona Benus. The average time. Average gap between 2 periods. What exactly is the average gap between 2 periods? We'll poll. Some of a dispute. The Shach says it's identical to Veses HaKodesh. Same thing. Even though the photos can change 20 to 30, 29 to 30, or vice versa, doesn't matter. Now, Halacha follows the day of the month. Some actually go as far as to invoke the famous Rishali, that the nature follows Halacha. What I mean, Bez makes the month a day later, it'll be a day later, make it month a day earlier, it'll be a day earlier. So that again, there are three different halakhas that every woman for the Nishya has to worry about. Namely, interval, what we call interval, day of the month, and onabenas. What exactly is onabenas? What is it? Shach says that all the abandonment is exactly the same as the day of the month. There are really only two kinds of glory. There's no differences. All the abandonment is only really if it was a period in the previous month, and the day of the month can apply even if it was skipped the previous month. But that is a rare cases that there's a difference between the two. That's the Shach's point of view. The Tav says no. There are two famous posts in the Shemot, Shach and Yalva, Tav and Yalva, two is up. Since they've gone to it, they always sport it out. The Taz says, no, oh, the abandonment is always the 30th day. Or 9th, I guess, maybe. And then the Vesis HaKodesh is half the time the same day, and half the time a different day. What's the Taz? If it's what we call a short month, a Chaser, then it's the same day. If it's a long month, a Bole, the Vesis HaKodesh is the day later. Then the own abandonment. That's how the Chaz says. There's also some passage of Chavez Das in the back of the opposite way. The own abandonment is always the 31st day. Three Jews and three opinions. The Poskim say the Shach is the main view. Certainly follow. You want to be makhla like the Taz, that makes a lot of sense. You want to be makhla like the Taz Das, you know, that's already a big book. But they have these booklets out now with computers. And the woman saw such and such a book that she went and saw that a few times. Program. They give you all the focus, of course. Oh, they're not cool with the programs. Everything's a focus. Or this time and 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 this day and this night and this time. That's what we're going to do. Yes? I'm very confused.
I don't understand what all three of them are saying.
Okay, let me backtrack a little bit. We discussed before, we call intervals.
Right.
Intervals mean you have to have at least four, maybe kavua, you have to have four periods, and four times the flow began. And the kavua, earlier, you have to have the interval between all four, the intervals between the four should be the same. That's the negative versus kavua. Okay? I should now introduce a new concept which I should have mentioned much earlier, I forgot. Called Vesez She'eino Kavua. That means a period which is not fixed. A period which is not fixed, you only have to worry about it for the next month. In other words, if the interval keeps changing, change, let's say, from 25 to 32 to 35. About numbers. So that next month, you only are required to worry about the gap of 35. 25 and 32 are history. Because they were uprooted by the subsequent gap of a longer period of time. Let's call that a flood. This has to take out a calendar. I'm not kidding around. I had a shadow recently. They had it a long time. The people had the wrong target. They didn't know how to figure it out. They couldn't figure it. And let me explain to you the big disputes again. The calendar is as, works as follows. First, you disregard day or night completely. You just take into account the calendar day. Halakhic day, of course. Day starts at sunset, right? So you have a calendar day, but then for argument's sake, let's say a woman saw today's Tuesday. Tuesday's already Wednesday, right? It's Wednesday. What's today? Yud? What's Yud? I said Yud before. I got it right. Today is Yud. So let's say a woman saw this way. Okay. A woman saw let's say on Shabbos, in the month of Kislev, was a Shabbos, I think. So the calendar, you think I have to be around. Okay? So the ninth of Kislev on Shabbos. And then she sees in Tevet, oh, the Star of Tevet was a Tuesday to see it. I don't know, that's over, I know for sure. But she saw Monday, which was what? The ninth of Tevet. So Shabbos, the ninth of Kislev. She saw Monday, the ninth of Tevet, which was 2 days later because Kislev was a full month, the 30 days. Now what does she do? When does she have to worry about this month, the month of Shvat? The answer is Wednesday. It's very simple. You just count, since we know days of the week, you just, let's say, when you move from Shabbos to Monday, you know that you move 2 days along the calendar. So the way to figure the interval for next time is very simple. Move 2 more days. That takes you into Wednesday. I hope you're grasping what I'm saying. I hope you're such a mathematical genius for this. If you go from Shabbos to Monday, you move over 2 days in the calendar, in the week. Then you go from Monday to Wednesday. Everybody with me? If you lost me, tell me. You lost me.
No, but you're just assuming that the 30-day interval, totally?
Well, by then, in this case, it was a 30-day interval. From Monday, it was Shabbos to Monday. That'd be cool, you call it, you know. It was the same day of the week and then 2 days more. Now, big question. Halacha l'maaseh. Is such a woman permitted to be with her husband tonight or not? So, strictly speaking, depends on the following. When was the last period? Disregard for the moment whether the period before 2 months ago was Friday night or Shabbos afternoon. Or Shabbos morning. It's irrelevant right now. The only relevant consideration is when was it last time? Last time, of course, meaning on the ninth day of Tevis. If the ninth day of Tevis was at night, then the interval is tonight. And therefore, she may not have a relationship with her husband tonight. If, however, the ninth of Tevis was by day, Monday by day, then strictly speaking, she has no prohibition tonight. She has a prohibition tomorrow by day. As I mentioned to you before in passing, for the laws of the sneers, you normally don't allow a relation by day anyway. So it doesn't matter that much. But there is a stricter view. I would be a liar if I didn't tell you about it and hear about it before you anyway. It's strictly for the Oras Ruah, which always adds an extra 12 hours. So that makes life much more difficult. The post can say, and I require to follow the other rule. You don't have to follow that view. So that therefore the temple is correct. If the period is anticipated tomorrow afternoon, because the Teves period was in the afternoon, and tonight, although it's on the calendar, if the calendar day number 10, during which the period is expected, it's not expected until the daytime, until the nighttime. It's permissible. This is intervals. Very important to understand. It's a two-step calculation. First, you go with the calendar and ignore day and night. Okay? Harav Yom Ashul Yom Lalayim. You know, we just disregard it. It's just calendar days. And after you figure out which calendar day it is, then in order to know which time zone is prohibited, you look exclusively at the last flow, when that started, day or night. A two-step process. It's not a note of Yehuda says it, so we accept it against others who disagree in various other ways to calculate. This is the emes, right? It's like, so we follow the halakha. Let's take another example, okay, to make it easy. The same case, we saw the ninth of Shabbos. We saw the ninth of Kislev. Then she saw an Asar B'Teves. Okay? She saw on Shabbos. And she sees again a lot on Tuesday. Okay? Now you tell me. So when does she have to worry about in this month of Shvat? So I didn't take any of your fingers, right? So I didn't think I figured out. She had on Shabbos. Then she went from Shabbos to what? Sunday, Tuesday. Okay, so now what happened? Now what did I know? What else about? Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that's it. That's the right answer. Friday. When on Friday? Friday day or Friday, or Thursday night? You see Friday? It simply depends upon what happens on the Asar B'Teves. You see the Asar B'Teves in the middle of the fast a day, or you see the previous night. Now it's determined whether the restriction of interval applies to Thursday night, or it applies to Friday by day, which I said to you before, is mostly a time reflection. Alright, I hope you understand this. This is very important to know how to calculate these things. You don't need a calculator. Just need your fingers. You know how to move over days of the week. That's how you figure. Of course, it can get complicated. If you move 5 days, which you saw on, but again, one thing. You saw on the 9th of Kislev, which was a Shabbos. And then she saw, let's say, on Wednesday, which is the 11th day of Tevis. I gotta take off your shoes. Right. So what she saw, what? So she does figure it out. She saw Shabbos, then it's to go to what? So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Okay? Now watch. Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. It's already a whole week later, because that's how the week is going to be. It's 4 times, it could be 5 times. It's going to be a little tricky. You have to worry about next Sunday. Is everyone following me? It's not that hard. You have to make sure you get it right. You have a shy to ask by a rope. You have to see it's confused all the time. Confusion reigns over here. I'm telling you the simple shot. That's how it is. This halacha of Beses She'ena Kavua, which is the most common thing that exists nowadays, there's no 3 months in a row exactly the same interval, exactly the same time, but that very rarely happens. Shulchan Aruch says, Ne'ekar b'pam achas. It is uprooted in one time. What does that mean? Besis, you know, the way it comes, it's the way it goes. But Besis Kavua has to be 3 times, we said before. So it can only be uprooted 3 times. Besis She'ena Kavua comes in 1 time, and can be uprooted in 1 time. Easy come, easy go. So now let's give the following example. Okay? A woman had, she started the 9th of Kislev. And then she saw on the 9th of Teves, which was a right when first was a Shabbos, and that was a Monday, correct? We went through this before. But then Wednesday anticipated. Right, Wednesday, tonight or tomorrow. But guess what happens? Day comes, day goes, nothing happens, no doubt. Okay, another day comes and goes, another day comes and goes. Finally, let's say, I don't know, on Shabbos, she's had a down. Now wait a minute, how many days this take? This is a very long story here. From Monday to what? So the next Shabbos, so she went how many days? Monday to Monday, 4 weeks. 32, 33 days or so. Guess what? After that old 30-day interval, you know what happened? They have a computer? Cancel. Wiped off the face of the earth. You don't have to worry about it anymore. It came one, was one, and it's gone. Easy come, easy go. Gone. Forget about it. It's history. She not only has to worry the next month, but this longer one. She saw from Monday to Shabbos, right? So now it's figured out. She's got hands again. I managed to actually use my toes now. What happened? So from Monday, right, to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Let's make it. And then what about the next? So she went from Monday, the 9th of Teves, to Shabbos. What is the Shabbos going to be? Yudalad. The 14th of Shvat. That's going to go 4 more weeks, which will take her to... Adar. We'll take her to... What did you say Shabbos was? Is it the 13th maybe?
No, it's
today is the 10th of December.
It's
13th, right? It's the 13th, right? Now, she'll go to a Shabbos, which will be in Adar, will probably be the 11th of Adar straight. If I'm mistaken, the 11th of Adar is probably on the Shabbos every calendar. She'll have to go 5 more days. What will that take her? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The Thursday, I think, is the 16th. If I'm mistaken, of Adar, if I have my calendar straight. You want to have the calendar? Nobody?
Yeah.
16th, no? That doesn't really matter that much. I'm just pointing out that all she has to worry about is that, you know, that 33-day gap and the 30-day gap is history. P.S. According to most authorities, all agree, this is a little tricky now, but don't panic. According to most authorities, only a longer interval cancels a shorter interval. But a shorter interval does not cancel a longer interval. So you have to worry about two different intervals at the same time. And in Shiri, you're going to have to worry about three different intervals at the same time. Let's say a woman went down. First she saw 37 days. When I could eat, I saw a big number. So 37. And the next month she saw 35. And the next month she saw 32. So the father, the next month, she has to worry about all three of them. Maybe it'll be 37, maybe 35, maybe 32. Just to keep in mind, you have to be a mathematician a little bit. Keep in mind, all three, they are P.S. where someone maintained that she has to count forever. You know, she has to worry about the longest interval for her whole lifetime. 20 years ago, she had an interval of 45, so she has to worry about it 20 years later. That's a wacko, it seems to me. So therefore, there are some parts to make us compromise. The most you have to juggle in your mind is three. Once three passed, it wasn't the same, that's what we had before, a negative kind of S, canceled it out too. Okay, it's a little bit complicated. You have to worry about more than one. All this, ladies, is concerning what we call the intimate. Okay, so instead of answering your question simply, I can... Shulchanara says that there are certain exceptions. For example, a pregnant woman with Dolkhidigas Vesas, a Medica, a nursing woman, for up to 2 years, there's certain exceptions. But again, that's since they're rare, somewhat rare, real life application. I'm just making a brief mention of it. Okay. We've covered the Siyata Mishmaya, Kuf Pei Gimel, the Kuf Pei Kes, which is the first half of the Lord of Deep. Next time we'll start singing Kuf Tzadik, we'll try to finish it up. We'll try to finish it up.